comes into the kitchen, which is usually the sign that something is wrong, and he said, who made these pizzas? And I said, I put them out. And he said, everybody loves them. They're really, really good. We got to do more. A light bulb really went off. There's a lot of power in pizza.
How did a kid from Jersey end up in Alsace peeling grapes, only to wind up back in New York City working for some of the biggest names in pizza? Hard work and determination, of course, but also a love for elevating tradition-bound recipes. As if opening his namesake pizzeria during the pandemic wasn't enough, now he's got a mini pizza war on his hands. The story behind Bellucci's Pizzeria, straight ahead.
Straight fried pepperoni.
I need a deep dish pepperoni and a thin sausage to go.
Can I get two cheesivores and one Detroit?
Can I get one large pep, one large sausage, and one large pep special?
This is Pizza City, the podcast dedicated to the art, craft, and passion behind the world's greatest pizzas. I'm Steve Belinsky, author of Pizza City USA, the ultimate Chicago pizza guide, and founder of Pizza City Tours and Pizza City Fest. And welcome, pizza geeks. Great to have you along with us for another edition of Pizza City. We are back in New York City after a little bit of a break. We're going to spend a few weeks in New York City. I've got a couple of trips coming up. I'll tell you about those in a bit. We are talking to Andrew Bellucci today. What a New York City character. You're going to hear it in his voice, obviously. But what you're going to be surprised to hear is his path from Jersey to France and back. Very few, if any, pizzaiolos or owners have three-star Michelin experience, and Bellucci is definitely a rare breed. But he also finds himself in the middle of a highly publicized pizza feud going on in Astoria, Queens. More on that coming up today. I actually went straight to Bellucci Pizza, his first place, right off the plane from LaGuardia. Then we walked the 9 minutes to Bellucci's Pizzeria, his new place, and had a life-changing, yes, I said life-changing, clam pizza. And here's the funny thing. I flew to New York on September 11th, which was a Sunday. We had the clam pie, incredible. Then 3 days later in the New York Times food section, Nikita Richardson, beneath a headline that reads, "A life-changing clam pizza," writes, and I quote, "The very best clam pizza I've ever had. Each slice comes with its own lemon wedge, and there seem to be upward of 20 minced garlic cloves per pie. The cherry stone clams, delivered fresh from Connecticut, are served orange pink, succulent and whole, yielding easily to every briny bite." And here's the cool thing. I'm headed back to New York on October 22nd, so I can attend Scott Wiener's Pizza on the Pier fundraiser on the 23rd. And there's a decent chance I might end up back at Bellucci's because of this. But I digress. I began our conversation, as I do every show, by asking our guest about their first pizza memory.
I remember two different pizza early memories. My mother would make pizza pretty much every Friday. Grandma style, it was like a French grandma style. It had very Mediterranean, no cheese. Anchovies, capers. To me, that's what pizza was. The first time I ever had a slice, it was totally unlike that. And was at a pizzeria across from a church where I was an altar boy. If you worked a funeral, they would take you over for lunch. That was my first slice. The place is still open, and I was back there maybe 4 years ago.
What neighborhood was this in?
This is in, I was born in Jersey City. New Jersey. This was in Bayonne.
So you're a kid who grew up with umami as part of the equation. In your pizza, you had to have that umami, that anchovy, that roundness, right?
Very much so. I was shocked that anchovy didn't come on every pizza. My first apartment in New York was in Queens and Long Island City in 1983.
80s and 90s, probably not the apex of pizza quality in New York City. There was like the Rays, there's a lot of 99-cent slices. We don't have this sort of like this new wave, the Mama's Two and the Scars and the Sophia pizza shops. Back in the 80s and 90s, New York pizza was very different, right?
It was. It was more of a commercial product, and it was, I always thought of it more as something that it was going to be cheap and I could fill up on it. So you wanted like that big doughy slice, something that was, you know, gonna fill you up. My mother's French. I used to go to France every other summer, spend the summers there. So my French is fluent. I wanted to get into cooking. I went to France, turned out to be 2 years, 90 and 91. I worked in, I wanted to learn everything that I could.
Not go to culinary school, but just learn from restaurants.
I just never saw, at least for me, the point of culinary school, because you had to pay to learn something, when even if you weren't paid anything, you were ahead of the game monetarily, and I'll take real world experience over the classroom any day of the week. I also feel that still holds true today. When I see somebody who has, you know, like a culinary school background and a $600 knife roll, I don't usually have good experiences with that. I went to France with the intention of working in one 3-star Michelin restaurant. I wound up working in two. They were both in Alsace. The first one was L'Auberge de Lille in Ilhausen. Jean-Georges Van Gerichten was the chef there, the working chef.
Is that the Aberlin family?
It was the Aberlin Frères, yes.
I met him years ago at a dinner in Chicago with Jean Joho, the other famous Alsatian.
Right.
Small world.
Yeah, just getting my ass kicked, peeling grapes literally 8 hours a day, you know, and because they try to break you in the beginning. But I really learned a lot of valuable lessons there. And I'll tell you what the first one was, and I don't think that flies in today's climate. So I'm peeling grapes all day, and just running back and forth in the kitchen. And they put a pan with oil in an oven, and it was smoking. And just as I walk by, they're like, what the fuck? Get that pan out of the oven. So I open up the oven, I grab the pan with my hand. Everybody's just looking, not saying anything. And then one of the sous comes over and says, lesson number one, you never grab a pan without a towel in your hand. It's true, and I mean, it's a long time ago, but I don't grab pans with that, or at least, you know, touching, just never assume anything.
So were you thinking, okay, this could be my career, I'm going to be in a kitchen like this, but maybe in America, but high intensity and high pressure and fine dining?
That's exactly it. 86 was my first food business. I had a hot dog cart. I rented the cart, I parked it in front of Chase Manhattan Building at 48th and Park Avenue. It's funny because I did the same thing there that I do with pizza, and it was really reinforced to me with my time in France, and that's you're not reinventing the wheel, you're elevating with the ingredients that you use and the technique that you use, and you're doing what everybody else is doing, but you're putting your mark on it, you're elevating it. And that's what I did with the hot dogs. I had for the sauerkraut, I was doing like a choucroute garni, not garni, but braised in Riesling. You know, nobody else was doing that, and that's a tough business, the hot dog business. So, but that really inspired me to up my game, and that precipitated going to France. So when I came back, I worked in a couple of really nice restaurants, and the one that led me to the pizza path was a place in Soho called the Spring Street Restaurant. They did a whole revamp. They brought in a chef who had spent the previous year at Spago, Wolfgang Puck's place, and they certainly had some nice pizzas there. So we had a nice new American menu, and maybe a couple months in, the owner said, we're going to do a late night menu now and for the bar, and I'd like some pizzas on there. The chef, John, wanted nothing to do with pizza, and he said, you have the Italian last name, you go at it. He used to call me Gino when I was working.
Nice guy.
Yeah, he's like, Gino, you do it. And luckily, there was a line cook, Anthony Fiorentino. And Anthony's parents had a place on 42nd Street in the middle of all the porno theaters, and it was called Fiorentino's King of Pizza. And he said, look, you have a Hobart downstairs. You got to order some All Trump's flour. We'll do the mix together. It's not that big of a deal, even though we didn't have a pizza oven. And this is before the internet. You know, you can learn everything on the internet. There were two pizza books back then, literally only two, and they didn't really have great information in them. We put bricks in the oven because we had racks. You couldn't cook on the racks. There were no pizza steels.
You're MacGyvering this oven.
Yeah, you do, you know. And
this is late 80s, early 90s.
This was 1992. Leon, the owner, never spoke with me. He comes into the kitchen, which is usually the sign that something is wrong, and he said, "Who made these pizzas?" And I said, "I put them out." And he said, "Everybody loves them. They're really, really good. We gotta do more." A light bulb really went off. There's a lot of power in pizza.
What you're saying applies really to New York City. There's a lot of power in pizza in this city.
Yes.
And I'm not surprised then you end up going to Lombardi's and Ruby Rosa and Joe and Pat's and Joe's. These are like totems of New York City. So you're learning so much in each of these places.
Yeah, that's it. And that's how I am. I'm not a jack of all trades. When I set my sights on doing something, I want to know everything that there is. That's all I do. And it just happened that pizza really resonated with me. I wanted to make the best pie that I could.
Okay, we have to address this issue with the two Bellucci's, because that's obviously a story in New York City. There's a long history in this city of, some would say, gentle or maybe not so gentle pizza feuds. There's the Joe's, there's the Ray's, there's the Grimaldi's and Giuliana's. Tell me about there's a Bellucci about a 9-minute walk from here, which actually I went to before I came in here today to try their slices, one of each, the grandma and the regular, and then your Bellucci's, different place. So just give me the Cliff's Notes, what happened there?
I found a partner to open up a place, met on Craigslist. Everything was good in the beginning. We were going to do the spot in the city, actually right next to the original Joe's. That was like my dream.
To give it to them a little bit, to stick it to Joe's,
yes.
Or no?
Okay. Well,
look at me, I'm in the village now.
I respect what Joe's does and the volume that they do and the consistency of product really, really speaks volumes, because they just do crazy, crazy, crazy numbers. They say that we've been doing it this way since 1975 and we will never change anything. They use Hormel pepperoni, but it's the old school, like a little bit bigger, and it's very thin and it just lays flat. I feel it does nothing for the pie. So I wanted to do everything that they were doing, but just elevate, use the best pepperoni and different cheese. Also, I'm a cheese down first guy. So I always put the cheese down first and then the sauce. Some people call that upside down. I think everybody else is upside down. Why wouldn't you want to insulate the dough from the sauce?
That's what we've been doing since 1943 with Deep Dish in Chicago.
Okay, well.
Cheese first, but slices, not shred.
And minus slices as well. My partner had two tattoo shops, but it was the beginning of the pandemic and they closed all non-essential businesses. So that's why he wanted to convert them. And there was one, the 6th Avenue spot, and the one on St. Mark's in East Village. And these were very high profile locations, and I was all in. It took a while to get going, and he had just bought the location in Astoria. It's like a business condo. And then the city allowed non-essential businesses to open back up. People hadn't gotten tattoos in months, and there were lines out the door. He's making money hand over fist, and he's like, maybe we do it in Astoria, first. But it's such a small shop. It's only 300 square feet. The ventilation isn't good. But we made it work. Things were going good. But then, as all businessmen do, they look at the bottom line, which they should. It's God knows I don't look at the bottom line. He wanted to open up the 6th Avenue shop, but we could not staff this shop. We went to the Pizza Expo. It was the first time that I had been away from the shop overnight. We both went. We went for 4 days. I came back. The place was a shambles. We had a $10,000 slicer. Very strict protocols on when you disassemble and wash the machine, you keep everything in a bucket, right? And then you reassemble it again. They didn't follow that protocol. They lost a piece that took me 2 months to get from Germany, right? So we were back to hand slicing for 2 months. So I'm like, Leo, this place can't run by itself. If I'm gonna go to 6th Avenue, which that shop would have to be open till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, because that's what they do down there, what's gonna happen to this shop? Don't worry about this shop, but I do worry about this shop because it's got my name on it. It's got my reputation. I have a real affinity for the people in Astoria. It's my third time living here, so I knew the neighborhood very, very well. And he basically said, listen, I'm going to open up Bellucci's on 6th Avenue, whether you like it or not. If you want to come in on it, great. If you don't, that's okay. I'm still going to do it. I told them there's no motherfucking way you're going to do that.
Here we are at Bellucci's Pizzeria.
And here we are at Bellucci's Pizzeria as opposed to Bellucci Pizza down the street. Yeah, there's a little bit of a war going on now. I can't say too much more right now on it. Wheels are in motion. That's all I can really say. It's going to be resolved one way or the other soon.
I'm sure it will. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking with Andrew Bellucci of Bellucci's Pizzeria here in Astoria, Queens. We're also going to preview some scenes from our next show coming up in 2 weeks, so stay with us. Welcome back, everybody. We're here at Bellucci's Pizzeria in Astoria, Queens with Andrew Bellucci, the namesake, and he was talking in our last segment about how he's come down about a 9-minute walk from the other Bellucci pizza. I would imagine the recipes, I mean, these were your recipes at the other place, your recipes here. Did you change anything? If somebody goes to both, like I went to the other place, I noticed a little difference with the grandma, crispier over there, more a little more softer crumb over here. How do you work that with your recipes?
For me in pizza, there are no recipes, there are workflows. And it changes constantly. Everything here is different. I mean, I'm not going to go into the ingredients. And
well, your Sicilian's higher.
Yes, the Sicilian is a different proofing process. Also, I'm using a gas oven here, you know, as opposed to electric, and there's a difference there. Anything that you change is going to make a difference.
It seems like every place that opens up these days, and you just opened up in April over here, you said.
Right.
It seems like a lot of places that open up, I mentioned Mama's 2, Sophia, Scars, they've all got a slice and a square, or a slice and a grandma and a Sicilian.
Yes.
That's the new, sort of the norm now, the baseline in New York City, right?
I think so, but the grandma for me is fairly new, and by new I mean I had Sicilians growing up, and I had obviously regular growing up. I don't remember my first grandma, but
unless you grew up near Elmont, right, in King Alberto.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're on Long Island, then you grew up with it.
My understanding is it's the same day. You don't have any overnight proofing. It doesn't get as high as a Sicilian, so it's always a little bit, it's shorter and it's crispier.
That's it, and it's more dense.
Let's talk about your slice to begin with here. We got a pepperoni out here in front of us and a cheese. I love the crumb on this pizza. It's a crust you want to eat all the way through. You're not going to leave the crust bones here on the side. But let's talk about the base. Let's talk about the flour. You mentioned, do you use all trumps? Or tell me about your flour you're using.
I can't discuss it.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
It's your
Sorry.
Proprietary recipe.
Yeah.
But how about fermentation? 2 days at least?
We like to do a long ferment. At least, you know, I like to stay ahead at least a couple days.
And then you said cheese goes first. Slices of aged mozz?
Yes. Well, we use on these pies that you had is aged mozz. We also do slices of fresh mozz for certain pies. One of our famous ones is the vaccaroni, which is fresh mozz down, pepperoni, goes in the oven, post-bake, I hit it with the vodka sauce.
Does the fresh mozz, though, need to be drained? Because typically that's got a lot more moisture to it, which is obviously the enemy of your bottom dough.
It sure does, but no. I have a couple of suppliers that know exactly what I want, and they deliver.
Pepperoni here. You've got a good supplier here. Was it Rosa Grande for pepper?
It's Hormel Rosa Grande. I've been using that since the Lombardi days.
Fairly thick, not a very thin. This is a thicker slice.
Yes, it is. I've always liked it thick and cupping. The thin when it cups, sometimes for me, it's a little too crispy.
And any finish? Do you do a Romano before it goes into the oven?
Yes, there is Pecorino. So we put the cheese down, the sauce down, and then Pecorino Romano. Although with a pepperoni, I usually go no Romano or just very, very, very light because it's already got enough salt.
I didn't ask you about the sauce, but the sauce that I had on the grandma, holy cow, was that good. Can you give me any information about that, or are you going to keep that to your close to the vest?
It's one of the sauces that we use for our margarita, which is a little bit thicker, but it's very garlic forward. We definitely add more garlic in there. But there's a few seasonings in there.
You want to name check who it, like Stanislaus or
Well, actually, I can. You can...
Look at the cans?
Yeah, the cans are First Field, which is a husband-wife operation out of New Jersey. And if you look on the label, it's like the only tomato I know that has nothing added to it. Nothing, no salt.
And then let's talk about the clam pie. So the first time I had a clam pie was in New Haven at Frank Pepe, which is such a unique experience having it out of the coal oven. And the clams open up usually on the pizza as it's baking. But tell me about this clam pie. I know it's an advance order typically, right?
We had a nice article written about the clam pie. And I guess that's where it started with the 48-hour advance notice. Maybe we're going to move away from that and just have like a limited amount available, you know, on certain days, or if you let us know like early enough in the day, or certainly the day before, because I get it from the fish market on the next block. They're shucking them, but then we do another process to them where, you know, there's a couple of sacs in the clams that's undigested plankton. That's what they eat, and you can eat that, but it's very unsightly. So we cut around it. And then portion them. We're using cherry stone clams.
Okay, so how does this begin? You've got the dough to begin with, and then with the cheese?
There is just a little bit of Pecorino Romano. That's the only cheese. There's no other cheese. So we open up the pie, and we have our what I call our chimichurri, which is extra virgin olive oil, a lot of minced garlic, salt, pepper, chili flakes, fresh parsley, fresh oregano, and put that down, and goes into the oven. About three quarters of the way, we pull it out, hit it with fresh lemon juice, and the clams, of course. And then cook it the rest of the way, comes out, hit it with some fresh parsley.
It's so delicious. It comes with extra lemons as well, but I gotta be honest with you, I had two slices of this. Plus, I had a pepperoni and a half a cheese, and then I had pizza before I came here. So this clam pie, really special. I have not seen anything like this in New York City. There aren't a lot of clam pies like this in the city. I mean, there's one at Pasquale Jones. They do a clam pie.
They do a nice clam pie. There's you know, it's funny because all of a sudden now there's a few more people doing clam pies. I wonder why. The grandma has a very short proofing process once it's in the pan. We call it a non-round because it's not a square, it's rectangle, and now I'm not really happy with that name, but we're sticking with it, even though I'm the one who came up with it. Now I think it's stupid, but what are you going to do? That's a much longer room temperature proof to get that height. I have a pie called the Forestier that's Gruyere based. Balsamic onions and Herbe de Provence mushrooms. So that's also a nice vegetarian option. And we do that as a square.
It's so cool to see that French experience and that little sort of hint of Provence coming through here in the middle of Queens.
Yeah. It's what I grew up with. The pizza has nothing to do with the name. It has to do with my experiences, what comes from within. And that's how people make the best food. It's what they grew up with. My favorite compliment is when somebody says, oh, this reminds me of my childhood. This is because we crossed each other in our childhoods. That's what I believe.
Last question we ask all our guests.
Sure.
Knowing what you know now about pizza making, which is more than most people will have in their lifetime, what advice would you have given your younger self, maybe pre-opening your first place, because you've worked for other people who had names established, but what advice would you have given your younger self before you opened your own place to be successful in pizza?
I wish I would have written down a lot more stuff. I really didn't get into the science of it, right from the beginning, because I didn't, when I was at Lombardi's, I didn't understand really the science of it. So it's just very important to make notes and keep them and then go off of it. That's what I do now.
A lot of it's time and temperature and weight.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. And then, but it's everything. It's how long it stays in the refrigerator, how long it stays out of the refrigerator before it goes in the refrigerator. What was the temperature then? And if you just have like all the more information you have, the more you can make better educated guesses, and I mean, I can't really get into it, but my proofing process is a lot different now than it was down the street. Like, a lot different. So write it down.
All right, the restaurant again is called Bellucci's Pizzeria. It's in Astoria, Queens. It is literally a 13-minute cab ride from LaGuardia. cost me about $12 to get here. One of the greatest deals ever in New York City. I'm going to jump on the train and go into the city from here. What a pleasure to talk to you for a little bit and learn about your history. What a fascinating path you've had. Andrew Bellucci, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure. Hope to see you back again, or I'll see you in Chicago.
What a guy, what a character, what a story. All right, coming up in 2 weeks, we are jumping on the Long Island Railroad at Penn Station, riding it less than 20 minutes to Forest Hills, then walking 2 blocks.
I just started playing around, so I sold a lot of the stuff that was here. So like my my truffle sauce recipe, like that was something I've been playing around with for a long time. And then I just added it to a pie just for shits and giggles, and people were like, we couldn't keep the pie in the case long enough. It was just selling like crazy, so like, all right, that works.
I'll talk to food service sales guy turned pizza maker Chris Cotillo at Austin Street Pizza. That's in 2 weeks on October 28th. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts and tell a friend, please, and rate us. We'd love to know what you think about the show. We are at Pizza City USA on Instagram, and our website is pizzacityusa.com. Bureaucratic wrote and performed our theme song, and here's wishing you an optimal bite ratio always.